Okay, the running. Okay, so pause.
This is the response system. Briefing on the biannual report of the National Department of Tourism. Then questions, responses, and discussion, and then close at 12:45. That is quarter to one. That is what we have planned as a committee. But before getting into the next item in our business today, let us just read you the apologies. We have had two apologies, isn't it?
Yes, Chair, with two, one from Mr. Krumok and the second one from Mrs. Bamwanya. Those are the one the apologies that we have received.
I think with those two apologies, we would have expected much more members to be present. Okay, given the fact that this is our report, and we are giving a report as to what has happened right through the year. And we note that the minister, together with the DG, is not around, but they have sent in their apologies. They are abroad, and then the deputy minister, I don't know whether there is an apology, and but this signals this is the highlight of what the department has done. Annual report, what has been done, how the funds have been spent, and so forth. For the high leadership not to be present is quite a matter of concern. I think we've got to try and prioritize these things, because our task is to do oversight, but at the same time, we've got to make sure that the leadership is there in some of the instances, because there are problems in some areas in the industry. But on the overall, it is our view that you are doing well. But having said that, there are problems in the industry that need to be attended to. And then in passing the budget, earlier this year, we mentioned a few areas like rural tourism development and compliance with the gazetted sector codes, and the issue of we welcome the issue of the formation political relations between South Africa and the BRIC countries, but we expected that it would be translated into economic benefits at a certain stage. Issue of the tourism budget, the committee was of the view that it is not adequate, and the successful implementation of the tourism growth strategy requires substantial financial resources. That was when we adopted the budget. That is one of the things we said. Local authorities are important contributors to the success of tourism activities in terms of community-driven tourism philosophy. Their efforts should be coordinated within the provincial tourism growth strategy. But having said that, we expect the national department to lead in the process. The synergic linkages should be developed and harnessed at all spheres of government, so as to promote local tourism activities and strategic partnerships. Public education, awareness, and information dissemination should be linked with outreach initiatives of the department. The issue of departure taxes, the committee appreciated and encouraged the initiatives taken by South Africa when hosting a meeting of the like-minded destinations in order to coordinate the response to these discriminatory taxes introduced by European governments. The minister mentioned that during the summit as well. The tourism industry should leverage South Africa's successful hosting of the 25th FIFA World Cup and explore the potential for niche markets. Then the budget vote of the Department of Tourism passed. That was what he said when we were passing the budget. But that is what should be there for next year. So, we're amongst other things, because the mandate is in the estimated national expenditures, I think, and some of the things that the department shall do. But there is also the issue of the Department of Tourism, or tourism being a concurrent function. Therefore created being an intergovernmental issue with problems from the different spheres of government. And there is a need to improve on this. There is the issue of the BBBEE on transformation, what is the progress, how many enterprises have been set up, because sometimes percentages are good, but the new experiences, new destinations, how many are they? Then the issue, we commend the department about the issue of human capital development, and we would like to hear the National Tourism Sector Strategy Progress, the progress report, and the growth, and given the targets that you have, whether we have achieved the targets, and how we compare globally, because last year you remember that as the global picture was becoming worse, at least we maintained a bit of growth as a country. The issue of grading in the tourism industry, and the issue of the Auditor General's report. I think the committee commends the department for an unqualified audit, but having said that, there are areas of concern as stated by the Auditor General in page 61 of the document. It's not page 61, it's later pages. But in page 61 of the annual report, the audit committee commends the attitude of the department to take corrective action where there are problems. I think we support that attitude. If there are problems, we expect management to correct problems in the department in order for the department to perform better, because that is their primary duty. The extended public works account, there is concern, once the action that has been taken is commendable, there should be progress in this department. And then there are concerns around the issues of under expenditure, and then procuring the graded establishments. That is also one of the areas. We have seen the documents that you have sent for presentation. We are happy about a number of areas, but there are areas of concern. But having said that, the members will respond as when at the correct time. And without much ado, let me allow the department to respond under the leadership of Mr. Fanskar. Over to you, Mr. Fanskar.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and good morning, Honourable Members. Thank you once again. I think we're happy to be here. Just to introduce the team that will take part in the presentations. Victor Terrafi, he's the Deputy Director General, Policy Research, Monitoring, Evaluation. Annemie Malan, the Deputy Director General, Tourism Growth. Lerato Matlakala, she's the Acting DG, Tourism Development. And Ralf Ackerman, he's the Chief Financial Officer. Chair, as indicated, both the Minister and the Deputy Minister are present at the UNWTO meeting. That's an annual meeting taking place more or less at this time of the year. And as it indicated, they've apologized not being there. I am the acting DJ at this stage, so hopefully being the accounting person at this briefing session. Chair, if I then can continue with just taking you through that. And Chair, I think you must guide me. We've got a fairly detailed one on performance issues, but perhaps as I go on, I will highlight the issues that we did not meet the targets. Perhaps I can highlight that. All in all, out of the Auditor General, and that's not in the report, but in the management letter, we've achieved almost 80% of our targets during the year. They have evaluated two of the programs extensively, and those two programs were 79%. The two programs that they did not evaluate extensively was Policy Research Monitoring Evaluation and Program 1, which is the support services.
Okay, did they approve the way you do your performance audit?
Yes.
They're able to start there.
Yeah. In fact, Chair, yes, they did, and I think in the management letter they've commended the department the way we are improving and managing our performance issues. And I think in the latter part of today, we will sort of give you feedback on the biennial where we are as far as that is concerned. So the performance, although it's not something that appears in the audit statements yet, as for next year, they will also express opinions on performance and how we achieve that. So back in the report, we've included all our strategic objectives, measurable indicators, baselines, and the target and what we've achieved. And in the report, we also indicated the reasons of variance, why we've exceeded or underperformed on the issues. So a lot of that information is in there, and we haven't brought all of that into the presentation. But I'll be guided, and if there's any questions, we will revert to that. So, Chair, then. Honourable Chair and members, we start with the Auditor General's report. It's unqualified audit, no matter of emphasis. Compliance with laws and regulations, there was a finding on that part, where they say NDT in a number of instances did not maintain appropriate control measures related to expanded public works. The Auditor General has done 100% audit on our expanded public works program, being the most expensive part of our portfolio. And some of the findings is that regular reporting from the implementers is not forthcoming. Submission of external audit reports, and that normally happens at the end of the project. So it's one of the challenges. Compliance with regular monitoring procedures and assessment of controls. Then management in the way identified the expanded public works as the area that requires improvement of internal controls. The accounting officer initiated, the director general, in fact, who'd been the accounting officer, has initiated even before the audit a forensic audit in respect of expanded public works projects. In fact, that was four of the projects, and one criminal case has been opened at SAPS, so that is just additional information where we are as far as that's concerned. On the financial performance, this is the third program, and I'm just going to move to the expenditure that on the administration we spent 89%, on tourism development 93%, tourism growth 99%, policy and research 99.9%. The total expenditure was 96.59%. Per program, if we then look at the expenditure per program on that the other expenditure or the variance was 19.259 in administration, 21.05 under tourism development, and 56,000 under tourism growth. That is just a sort of graph showing the pie. Then under current payments, compensation, we've only underspent 86,000, goods and services, 157. Under transfers and subsidies, 20.675 million. Then under the tourism, under non-profit institutions, 36,000, that was one of the entities. And then the total reflects to the 40.34 million. That is a pie chart in relation to that figure. And I think this is an important slide. So the 40 million under expenditure of the department budget is 19.422 was unspent related to furniture equipment, our security equipment for the new building. We have purchased plate orders, purchased and procured all the furniture, security equipment, and anything related to us moving to the new building. But due to the fact that the building was not ready for us to move in, those funds were then identified as rollover funds because it was committed. And National Treasury approved it, and that will be in front of Parliament at the end of October as part of the adjustment budget. So in fact, those the savings that you see under Program 1 is in fact these funds that were spent properly, but we haven't received delivery on the date of the 31st of March, and therefore it was rollover, so it was committed money. The 20.639 million is related to the incentive program of expanded public works. What's happening there is that in midterm, the National Treasury review incentive programs to see how the movement of those programs are. And from our department, in consultation with Treasury, we have said rather take that 20.639 million back, because don't want fruitless expenditure in the process, because you need to sort of have proper processes in place. So Treasury has suspended, has minus, if I can put it that way, was suspended that funding in the midterm, but it was only reflected at the end of the financial year. So that is in fact also not a saving, but it's money that has been agreed with National Treasury and returned to National Treasury. So in total, the savings within the department was 279,000 francs. If we can then summarize that, is our budget was 1.183 billion, less than 20 million of the incentive program, less expenditure approved rollover, and that reflected that our spend in fact then is 99.98%, and the actual saving is 0.02%. On program one, overall, I think we've achieved almost all our targets. A percentage increase in the voice in the media. We targeted 40%, we achieved 70%, and part of that's contributed towards what has happened as the 2010 World Cup. So that has sort of also supported us in going forward. We need to sort of take that out of our domain. With awareness, so chairperson, I think the average monthly traffic on the NDT website, we have targeted 15,000, being a new department, not knowing, but ultimately our hit for that year was 269,000 hits. And what we've said, that's also related to the 2010 World Cup. A lot of those sort of hits is in relation to that. On the website uptime, we've had 100% uptime, percentage of compliance with our PIA requirements is 100%. We've all dealt with any questions coming in as far as that within the time frames. Number of stakeholder engagement initiatives, we've planned one with industry representatives, but it turned out to be much more, five. On the percentage there, you can see that we've achieved and to create a caring and compassionate department, we've achieved our targets. Percentage of negotiated international agreements on tourism growth, development, knowledge management signed, we only signed half of it. But the reality is that this is, you are dependent on the other countries. So we were ready to sign with Saudi Arabia, we were ready to sign with Zimbabwe, with Brazil, but none of those have materialized. So it was not in our sort of domain as a department to deliver on that target. And I think that's something that we've corrected in the new year to make sure that our targets are only what is in our hands and capabilities for the department to achieve. Then on the key performance contribution to Central Regional South African South North Corporation, the new PAC Tourism Action Plan, we did not achieve the 50%. Basically, that program is facilitated about in the DERCO component, and there was in discussion between DERCO, our department, and provinces to drive that process. But funding was the main issue why we could not implement any of the initiatives planned through the different spheres of government and DERCO. Percentage vacancy rate. We targeted that stage 50%. Our actual vacancy rate was 90%. Chair, that's also one of the things that we didn't know, because the filling of the post was related to accommodation, and we were still sharing at that stage with the Department of Environment Affairs. So accommodation has a big impact on both our department and the Department of Environmental Affairs. Percentage employees departing from the department, 1.2%, and I think the rest of the target there, as you see, we have achieved. Ensure percentage of designated groups in the workplace, percentage representativity of women, target was 50%, beyond 53%, people with disabilities 2%, we maintain the 2% percentage of representativity of blacks. The target was 75%, and the department's composition is 91%. Report from the AGM is unqualified. Then percentage compliance with relevant prescripts and service standards, 100% compliance. Then percentage expenditure on MTF, we set the target of 95%. As I've indicated, we achieved 96.6%, but if you take into consideration the rollover and the suspension of some funding, we are 99.9%. Then our percentage of expenditure on procurement from 58% and our procurement was 59%. compliance of entities 100%, statutory tailoring requirements 100%, we've tailored both our SFT, all the relevant documents into the parliamentary process timelessly. And parliamentary questions, as a department, we've met our target as far as that's concerned. On program two, number of full-time equivalents. So on the expanded public works program, we've underachieved about 1,800 desk jobs. And I think that is one of the problem areas we're having is sort of making sure that we really have good projects that are sustainable in terms of our policy, and that we do not put money into a black hole concept. And I think this is also based on issues that we find as we've taken it over from the Department of Environment Affairs. On the social responsible implementation, is the Tourism Enterprises Program, just to say that 6,226 partnerships or jobs have been created through that one. Number of full-time equivalent jobs created from the MTF Public Works Wage Incentive Budget is only 51. And say this is why we sort of timelessly have entered into discussions with Treasury, saying this is quite a difficult project that has been launched by Treasury, and rather let's upfront agree that some of the funds goes back to government and then redirect it into the right places so that we can get our processes in place. Number of accredited training days that we've exceeded, and the accredited person paid from the MTF Wage Incentive Program is 6,050. So you'll see on the training part, the incentive we've overachieved, but it's a bit easier, but to have real projects that talk to the incentive and following the guidelines from public works, it was quite tricky to sort of get it from the ground. The infrastructure of that majority-owned tourism enterprises in line. The target was 20%. Out of the study that was undertaken, 22.8% of the largest enterprises comply, 21.3% of the qualifying small enterprises, and 70.7% of the extended micro enterprises. That was what was the research was telling us as far as that's concerned. Again, there's a tourism charter that the enabling legislation is within DTI. And that's the area where we as a department at DTI needs to work very closely as far as that's concerned. Percentage of state organs compliance with tourism charter. The percentage were not determined. And in fact, we've been in discussions and it might be worthwhile for the portfolio committee also to discuss it with the Auditor General that I think there is a cabinet decision around the usage of grade establishment, all those issues. And I think it's time that we ask the Auditor General to audit all departments to see whether they are doing that. And I think that might be something we are in discussions with them so that becomes a transversal audit in government, in local, provincial, and entities to make sure that we only utilize graded establishment and grading being part of the SAT mandate. Percentage of that, new graduates up to both 10%, and you'll see that there's, in both this area there was an overachievement as far as that's concerned. Increase the number of black women in executive positions, and say this is one of those key performance indicators that we as the department adopted, but it's not in our hands to increase the number of black women in executive positions. And I think we've realized that this was our first sort of development of a business plan. This is something that we are that really work really hard to make sure that we can plan for what is in our responsibility domain. So the target was 20%, and that's something that we could not measure because the ownership of businesses are not within the government domain, and some of those challenges we will have to look into in the future. Percentage of exempt micro enterprises verified will be uniting 10%. So 3% EME survey responded had a verified BE rating, and 9% did not know. So again, we've given in all of this target something that we would like to make sure that we impact into the public sector, but you need to have cooperation, and therefore we are working much closer now with the TBCSA to make sure that we sort of get buy-in into some of these processes. The thing is, our compliant businesses, 45% of the large enterprises and 75% of the QSE receive compliance and designated group members as the percentage of beneficiaries of the Tourism Enterprises Program. 50% women, that was our target, and it was 13.66%. Then, say, on the address of imbalances, geographic spread, number of accommodation and conference facilities developed, you'll see that we've achieved 10 there. Well, we initiated a number of accommodation and conferences upgraded in red visited provinces, only 2, visiting formation 3, the rest is on par, and then a number of cultural heritage and social historic tourism projects identified developments and packaged. It was a key performance indicator that we as a department developed, but then realizing a lot of these issues also falls within the domain of the Department of Culture, and there's other issues that need to be taken on. So we then opted to sort of prepare a proper draft culture and tourism strategy as far as that, so that we just don't just go in and do something which has not been properly researched. Ability and spread of support events and festival across the country, strategy in place, communication cycles was done, draft national event strategies done, calendar of events was done, identify provincial needs in relation to the events, strategy. And Chairperson, they both in the department side, they're looking at the e-library, but already at our ministry, they do have one. And I think this is also a valuable tool for the portal is going to use to see where events is coming up and what way the portfolio committee would like to participate in that. This tourism framework is in place, and Chair, when we sort of discuss the performance of this year, the matters you were raising about tourism, you will see there's quite good progress as far as that is concerned in the first 6 months of this present financial year. Number of attractions upgraded or new ones developed in the country. The target is aligned to the social responsibility implementation projects mentioned above. Ensure involvement in the rural communities, a number of sustainable tourism products experienced in rural areas. The draft rural tourism strategy has been developed. Memorandum of understanding that being with the Department of Rural Government has been vetted and is already being signed. So in that case, similar to what we said about the niche, is that those departments have got a certain mandate and we need to make sure that we align it with the legislative and policy framework. And this is where the department has started to make sure that we are driving the same in the same direction as one government as far as rural development is concerned. The social tourism concept document has been finalized. And again, we were thinking of one project in the beginning, but realizing you need to have a lot of processes and strategies developed so that you know that you're on the right path as far as that's concerned. Number of direct investments attracted, updated of the tourism investment portfolio, trade investment responses, approval for renewal of trade investment service level agreements. Then on the number of enterprises reported to startups, and this is part of also the TED program. We have set targets, but that was an overachievement, so perhaps the way we set our targets at that stage did not reflect what is really happening in that area that they operate. But 1,588 enterprises were supported to startups. Number of enterprises supported to grow, 19. Number of enterprises trained, the same applies. We were hoping for 100, but within the funding available both from our department and from the business council, business trust, we've managed to sort of put in some more money into that area, more from the business trust side, so that they could just sort of train more people. Advanced value of transaction linkages was 546,000. If we then go to Program 3, Tourism Growth, compliance with the Tourism Sector Decent Work Framework, framework in place, the consultative workshop was established, hospitality training, and 140 delegates attended both from the public and private sector, a draft report containing the proposed elements of the framework is in place. And in our presentation later, as far as where you are this year, we will elaborate on the progress. South Africans as a percentage of the total workforce in the tourism sector, baseline in place and a framework in place, so concept document was developed. Numbers of educators trained to better understand, and here I think the figures is mentioned there. Number of educators placed with the tourism sector for experiential training, 10, that is not achieved. And again, that's one of those targets that's not within our operational field because it depends on the Department of Higher or of Education as far as dealing with this. And you also recall in last year there was quite a sort of long strike with educators, and all of these things have impacted on this as well as our we had a workshop in where we sort of exposed people into the field that had been cancelled in November last year. Education, career fair, we had to cancel it, and that was all related to the fact that there was this type of teachers at that stage. Number of businesses participating, the placement framework plan was developed, and the report on implementation of scarcity critical skills by FITASH in place. On this one, Chair, I think that we see that in all instances we have overachieved our targets, except for the number of youth people trained at tourism ambassadors in place at key events. That was a specific target around the 2010 World Cup. National norms and standards. and establishment adopted implementing universal access minimum requirements. Minimum requirements were in place. It was not achieved in that financial year, but that process has been taken care of in the new financial year. Then percentage of business buying into the consumer protection charter, the first draft of the framework was developed. Consultation with the Department of Trade and Industry on cooperation between the Department of Consumer Protection Act took place. And in the new draft bill that has been published for comment, you will see there is a specific clause in relation to the tourism sector. Number of participants in service excellence. See, this is the one that in our midterm review last year, the Director General had brought it to the attention that our attention was to train 250,000, we've only trained 14,000 front staff, and that was before those real spikes just before the FIFA World Cup. Transportation, venues being cancelled, all of those issues had really impacted on the delivery of that, and that was a target that we set ourselves for the World Cup. Then percentage of compliance with the service excellence framework, draft guidelines presented to the Bureau of Standards, committee meeting approved the registration of that, and the first draft developed and will be discussed during the service excellence working group meeting in April, and we will report on that in our next session. Program 4, this is a new program. Managing the number of impact evaluation reports for the first and second initiative. They received that one. Percent compliance with sector monitoring evaluation framework. A draft M&E framework for NTS has been developed. And Chair, I think we can elaborate a lot on those issues. That's part of what you've mentioned in your introduction, that we can give you progress when we deal with our biannual assessment. The draft bill was approved by MENMAC and Ministers for Cabinet, obtained comment from State Law Advisor. Number of tourism policy strategies developed. Number of district and local municipalities supported to develop tourism plans, strategies, and programs. For effective purposes, the districts were clustered per province. All districts in three provinces were supported on the use of the local government tourism toolkit and the draft NTSS implications. And I think that's something that we've taken forward, and it's also part of what the Chair has mentioned earlier, as making sure there's closer cooperation with local and provincial governments. Number of research projects, it was three. The draft national research framework has been developed. Then percentage of municipality integrated development plans process, 70% of the 67 municipalities IDPs analyzed and integrated into the tourism priorities. And then the Chair on the number of additional aviation frequencies to secure key tourism portfolio markets, sector responses on the proposed EU or the control of the Innoslav coordinator communicated to the Department of Transport, and report implementation of the airlift strategies against the portfolio market approval. So Chair, you'll see that some of those issues that you've been mentioning, like the visa sector, airlift, like local government, although that was part of our document for the previous year, when our budget was presented this year, stuff that we so far working on already in the previous year. Chair, then I've just added two slides in relation to the human resource part that's been delivered that's in our, at the back of our report. Our total establishment as on the 31st of March was 310. We had 83% African, 90% colored, 9%, 3% Indian, and 8% white. In the department. Senior management were 53, 64% Africans, 8% colors, 6% Indians, and 22% white. And then women in senior management represent 53%, people living with disabilities 2%, and turnover of our staff was 9%. Actually, this is just a slide to show you at the different levels where we do have the officials in the department. I'm not going to go into detail, but I think it's available on your process for consumption of the portfolio. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for sticking to the time limit. And let us check whether the our team is ready. If it is, we shall have to go out. If it is not, then we will have to wait. Because I do not want to give members an opportunity for clarification now, because it can be abused before. As an example, when it's question time, it will just be question time, whether it's clarification or not. Okay. Tea is ready. Let us take our 10 minutes off and then you come back for questions, responses, and comments. Right, but thank you very much.
No, you don't have to put any of these things in the system.
Yeah, I'm answering. When you're writing,
No, you can put in some of it to make the report of it in here. You don't put in everything, because look how thick it is. You don't have to put in everything. You're also on break, but if you want to use this time to talk to them to find out something, this is your job. If you have something to drink and eat, they will have something to eat. What's the time now? So we must play some more stuff.
No, I'm not fine.
Huh?
I'm okay. Just wanted to see.
Okay.
Oh, you mean?
Okay.
Get in touch.
Alright.
So if I think it's drinking, I go drinking.
Yeah. No, you will move here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have 2 minutes before we start.
Да, я пройти был на том этаже.
The information we received is that the control room is being painted right now. If we open the aircon, then the fumes, paint fumes, are going to get into this. This venue. So this well is about 26. But it would have been better if we were informed before. I think let us take the. I think this is a better evil than having paid fumes inside the room. But we should have been informed before that there would not be any air conditioning. I'm very, very sorry to everyone for that, for the inconvenience.
Chairperson, could we just please vote on whether the air, whether the fumes of the paint or the hotness will be worse?
We can. Everybody affected will vote. Well, let us please bear with us. It's not our intention to bring people and then torture them with heat. It should not be done, and we should be the first ones not to do it. But I will be sincerely, as members, apologize and take responsibility for that. We can't call people and expose them to this. We are sorry. Then, let us then get to business. The next item on the agenda would be questions. And in asking questions, let us not forget about the priorities of government and the difficulties that we sometimes see when we go on oversight visits, and particularly this lack of a coordinated approach. Municipalities and districts just not taking tourism seriously in some instances and so forth. So, which then undermines the national efforts. You are serious at the national level, you find that there are no resources put into tourism in some of the districts, despite them having potent attractions like Mokhtar-Mogoe, the Bembe district. You find that the budget, how much was the budget there for tourism? The tourism office, it was not much. And the roads around those attractions as well. You have a World Heritage site, you find that the infrastructure getting there is so difficult. So it has got to be a national effort. It doesn't have to be tourism, but those are the difficulties we've got to confront. The issue of transformation, we've got to try and speed that one up, but it is not solely the responsibility of tourism, but we expect tourism to contribute as well. The issue of human capital management and development, I think there you have surpassed all the targets, and the country for its development needs human capital development, and we commend you for that as far as the tourism is concerned. But now the question remains, is that happening at the provincial level, at district levels, municipality levels, are we supporting adequately, and so forth. The issue of grading criteria and the effectiveness of grading. And then the AG's report that was discussed from your side, and we think that you have, there is an effort, a serious effort from the department, despite serious problems that affect the primary objective of government, that is EPWP and the job creator. Then, and the delays in some instances resulting in underspending, and underspending resulting in non-delivery of the objectives. We believe that the issue of the offices is not in your control. It is in control of the Department of Public Works or other departments. But next year, that should not be an excuse, because we understand now that you could not occupy the offices, and as a result, you could not employ staff, and then if you cannot employ staff, you cannot fully undertake your mandate. Having said that, there was a delay in the payment of auditors and CETA. CETA, that is SITA, that is the information technology aspect, SIT. And despite that, this being budgeted for. Now, this is a weakness in management, and this hampers and compromises the mandate of these important government institutions. If you delay payment to the Auditor General, delay payment to the information technology, those are the main enablers in governance. So really, it is not acceptable. We need answers here. Whether you think to corrective action in as far as this delay was concerned. If it was beyond your control, we would need more information in as far as that is concerned. Then the issue of procurement of government departments from credit institutions, the COO has referred to it and said that credit establishment should be part of the Auditor General transversal distinct bodies. I think that is very much commendable. I think that route is practicable. And when we meet with the Auditor General, and we shall meet with the Auditor General, we shall discuss that with the Auditor General to make it an audit requirement for departments to use credit establishment and establishments, and that to be among the priorities of the country, given that tourism has been given more prominence as a job creator in the state of the nation of the president, and the country needs more jobs, and these credit establishments could be part of the answer. Having said that, we then have to have questions. I was just looking at the broader picture and trying to point out the different areas. Mamu Zgalala, Mamu Jove, Dada Kwanaki.
Chairperson, before asking question, I just want to say I'm deeply disappointed in that the three or four important people in the department are not here today. Well, I heard there was an apology, but still, I'm not happy, I'm not satisfied, because I think it has taken so long for us to be visited by the minister in this portfolio committee. Neither the deputy minister, the DG, or deputy DDG, if he is ever there. And I believe really they are looking down upon our portfolio committee, because they are just, you know, somewhere, you know, on the sky, I don't know. They've got absolutely nothing to do with this portfolio committee. I, as a person, am not happy. And congratulations to you, Mr. Skarmik, that you have been promoted. You are representing the entire, I've just mentioned. Because now, there are certain questions, Chairperson, of which, when we ask those questions, one of the top guys should be here. Listen. But now, we speak of the department. Of course, I know my dear brothers and sisters, sons, you know them, they are the department. But once in a blue moon, I've mentioned, they just have to come and pay us a visit. For instance, I have a question to ask. Has the department conducted an evaluation of the national tourism carriers expositions held in the past in order to ascertain its impact in assisting roles in the tourism industry, as well as learners and educators? If yes, how does the department intend to use the lessons learned? Third question, at least if the DDG was here. Well, I know he's abroad on a serious issue. I'm meant to understand. Okay? As I was listening to the presenter, I go to slide 20, whereby it says, I'm saying, how far true that the numbers of black women in executive positions and ownership of businesses has increased. Maybe the presenter can give us few, areas whereby this, the above has happened or is happening. Just to make an example, for instance, in KZN or whatever, then you feel that, yes, things are happening. To me, it's a bit vague. Slide 23 says, number of sustainable tourism products and experiences in rural areas. At times, the report pushes you to say, how I wish I can visit that area and see for myself, oversight, because at times the department chairperson shame, they do, present some of these reports to us, and you find that some of the things are not true. When you get there, you find that, I am the ganjas. But now, it's a pity. We can never be all over. Oversighting. We put our trust to the department that whatever they say is what is happening. And it was just an oversight. I was expecting to hear about the Jew Maloof Skating Board in Kimberley, because it did take place. I would just ask the department just to tell us in a summary form what actually happened and is it successful or what. Things like the Makufu. I wonder, maybe I'm wrong on that stuff. Maybe they were mentioned in the report. But now, well, I'm wrong on that. Gushi.
I also did not hear properly.
So, unfortunately, I'm just mentioning this because we, as the portfolio committee, we are involved. Then I would also love to hear from the department such. Well, I can go on and on because we happen to love this department of ours and we want to see it coming up. We must not only say we're still young. For how long are we going to remain young? We've got to grow. And, well, thank you very much, Chaban.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, I also want to add my voice to the congratulations to the department for an unqualified financial report. We appreciate that, actually. It also makes our work less difficult. And also for the achievements that have been made in the area. Maybe that's why the senior official, the minister, the deputy minister, did not think it necessary to appear here because the report is favorable. But still, we have questions in spite of that. You know, let me start with this. There are figures here I do not understand very well. It's the first slide on the financial performance. Financial performance, that first slide with a high percentage. Are you telling me that to this moment, or that to the time the report was written, those percentages of expenditure had been achieved? That's the case. In which case, then, I want to ask, what are some of the sections in the department going to be doing between now and March next year? Because the money is finished. You spent everything.
No, 2010-2011.
The year of finishing. 2010-2011. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yes, that's right. You know, the reports are always a year behind. Okay, thank you very much. Because I was just going to say maybe we should dismiss some of the stuff. There's no more work to be done. The money is finished. Thank you very much. Now, on the EPWP report, I'm sure you expect us to not to be satisfied with what we are listening to, definitely, because the EPWP is supposed to be one of the main job creators, even though some of the jobs may not be permanent, but all the same, it should create some jobs. But now you see, you did not spend all your funds, and you returned some back to the National Treasury. You know, when I look at the area in which I reside, there's so much poverty. And you wonder, really, if we shouldn't do the best we can to reach out. Because I think it's a question of reaching out. The country is very broad. And some of the areas, the one that I come from, I'm telling you, there are some areas where you just feel so despondent when you drive through and you see the people. You wonder what they live on apart from the social development grant. Now, to return money to the treasury, it's a bit disturbing. Because I've also said that the area I come from does have some tourist attractions, but they are not developed. I don't think it's after. Maybe the municipalities don't see them as their priorities. They've got other priorities. They don't have enough funds to ensure that, you know, we are able to attract enough tourists around those areas. In this case, we could open up doors. So I'm just wondering whether perhaps the Department of Tourism, I think I can understand some of the difficulties in that you don't do it yourself. It's got to be done by someone else as it will on your behalf, somewhere in some remote area. But should we not ask the question now as to whether really a department like tourism should have a big budget for EPWP, which it is unable on its own to ensure that it is implemented. Or whether those funds should be directed elsewhere in some of the areas of the function of the department. but to be directed in a more effective way rather than returning them to the children. Chairperson, I also noticed, we also noticed that with regard to the international agreement, it seems to me particularly those within Africa, with Africa, not much has been achieved. I think it says here only 25% has been achieved. And the reason being that, it seems as if the blame is being shifted onto someone else, not the department itself. Because the department, I think, says it's not the only one that has to ensure that this happens. So the agreement seems to fail because someone else is not doing their part. So, but what I noticed also somewhere, I think I was reading the report directly, it seems as if with the agreement that we made with BRICS, it seems as if the agreement has been made. The agreement has been signed. But it would seem as if it is with Africa, if I'm not mistaken, that we have a problem. So could you expand perhaps on some of the constraints that we have in relation to Africa? Because we would like to see the tourism growing between South Africa and the rest of Africa. Do you have a particular strategy for that to ensure that there is improvement in this area? I see also, Chairperson, there's something about the department has been trying to reach out to the message through public education. But speaking of the language to be used, I'm not sure if I understand that well, what it means. When you say, sorry, I can't get it now, but I'm sure you know what I'm referring to. Yeah. What does that mean? That because we are not able to, I don't know whether to know or to get the language that should be used, that you're not able to achieve your target. So what does that really mean? Yeah, I think for the time being, this is possible. I also had some questions which I would have asked maybe directly to the minister. Not just the officials may not be able to answer those questions. But you see, if you remember the report itself, there's a lot that has been written about the visit. International visits of the minister and the deputy minister addressing meetings and so on and so forth, and speaking to different organizations and different structures in the various countries. Because I wanted to find out whether those visits are helping us in any way in increasing the number of visitors for South Africa from this area. I'm interested particularly with China, because it does say somewhere that an office of the South African Tourism was opened, I think by the minister himself, and one is interested to know whether these visits do increase, for instance, the number of visits that you get from these countries that the minister has been to or the deputy minister has been to.
Chair, thank you very much, and let me also echo my congratulations to the report and also the report from the DG. My two questions are very simple. One is the reason why, the motive and why the department decided to take back money to the treasury. I'm sure it's a foreign to hear the department is here to take the money back to the treasury. spend the treasury and the province current department in terms of the way they are using the money. But it is done in a different game. Also, Chair, my concern on my concern is about this forensic audit. How far is the planning this forensic audit? And why do we expect that from that audit report? Because I belong to other committees when there's this forensic audit, and seems as if the planning doesn't actually know exactly how to deal with the report after getting the report from the auditors. So what is your intake? What is the reason behind of this forensic audit? What wanted to do with the forensic audit after resigning? But I wanted to know how far is that. Those are the two questions for me, and thanks for the report. Thank you.
Thanks, Jefferson. I would also like to congratulate ourselves on the report. I know some people say we shouldn't appreciate the fact that it's a young department, but I think the department is doing well. As I felt the acting DG, from a position point of view, it's sometimes difficult to do what you're supposed to do and ask difficult questions if a department is actually functioning, because in comparison to other departments, this department is actually doing quite well. I am, however, also concerned about the EPWP project. And also, as I told Mr. Van Schalkwyk, previously we had a presentation on the project, and there were actually more than four projects that were reported onto us. We received a list of projects in the various provinces so that we can go and do oversight. Because it was also reported to us that some of those projects are not functioning at all. Some places there's infrastructure, but nothing else is happening. And so that I would like to ask, why is it only then that four projects is being forensically investigated? And then with regard to the universal access and disability, it says here the percentage of tourism establishments, there's minimum requirements for UA in place, and it's not achieved. Couldn't the universal access requirements be included in the grading, or isn't it included in the grading? Because surely then, we should be able to see how many of these establishments that are graded does comply. Because from a consumer point of view, you've got no protection, and I know that the bill will cover that, I hope so. You've got no protection if you go on the website and it says there's universal accessibility and there's none. So how will that, I just want to ask, why is it said here that it's not achieved, and what does minimum requirements mean? I mean, is it for the department? I mean, this is very vague for me to have that as a target. Thank you.
No. Oh, thank you. I think before you respond, if you look at the annual report, the first picture is the DG, then comes the minister, then comes the deputy minister. Is that correct protocol? And because protocol and government go together. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think the last question you need to pose to the National Trade is the guidelines, so we comply with the guidelines. So I don't want to pass it, but I'm with you. I think that is something that they've got guidelines how it should happen, because it's the accounting officer that accounts for the funds, and the minister tables it in Parliament, so that's why the process-wise, they just put it that way. Chair, my colleagues will also add to the comments that has been listed, mentioned. If I can start with the Honourable Chair's remarks, I think we take note of the roads and Mopengukwe and the issues about transformation. I think I totally agree, and this is where I believe that the cluster system set in place by government supports all of this. I'll start clustering priorities together. The HR capital we've taken note of it, the happening on provincial level, and I think that perhaps Victor can just add a little bit later how the NTSS is helping those processes. Grading and effectiveness, I would like to sort of request that we transfer that to this afternoon's discussion with SAT being the responsible agency for grading, and they can also sort of highlight the challenges they're having around grading. On the expanded public works program, and I'm going to deal now with the issues on expanded public works, there were three areas raised in that one. The incentive program, and I think that's the issue in relation to the funds that have been given back to Tracy. In fact, Tracy has never given us the money. They've given it to our budget vote, but they say it's an incentive program. The incentive program has got specific criteria that you need to deliver on. If I'm right, you need to sort of have 60% or around 80% of jobs to that, and very little infrastructure. This is a new program started by National Treasury. And our, we as a department believe you can't just jump in and not plan properly, because at the end of the day, accountability around how you spend the funding, the money, is vital. So we started in the department with a proper process to make sure that when you approve a project, you can manage that project, you can be accountable for the project. And based on us being a department that's been created, we've reviewed our expanded public works policies to also make sure there's sustainability. And the problem that's been mentioned around some of the assets that's been built, most of them for trust, once it's been handed over, it doesn't grow. There's no movement around those issues. So that's not the problem. The real problem is specifically of the old expanded public works. So this is issues that the department has really taken care of and make sure that when we approve a project, we need to make sure that there's proper sustainability. There's mentorship into that. That it's not something that local and provincial government is taking responsibility to assist and maintain that, because you can't just leave it to the community or the trust once it's been built. I think that's issues that we have changed our policy going forward in dealing with that issue. So let's just say that the expanded public works, I think there's two issues. One is that after the review that was done on all our expanded public works projects, four projects were identified where it are alleged to be corrupt interaction taking place. This is the ones that we've then done a forensic audit on. One of that has been properly concluded now and has been handed over to the police, because it's now a matter for the police to sort of investigate these allegations and then go through the normal process of charging those implementers and taking it through the due course of the law. So I think that's the issue. The other three reports are, I can say, 95% completed. In some, it's more procedural issues. Once we've detected it as a department having a problem, no more funds as well. So in fact, all of the funding that has moved into that project was before the project started. So it's development and then giving the advance for to kickstart the project. Thereafter, the department has stopped it. So I think that from a departmental accounting perspective, we have been compliant with the process. But it's how the people were misusing the funds that has become an issue. And I think that was four of those projects that has been identified. So I think I'll try to sort of just summarize it, and I'll ask her also if she wants to add something on the expanded public works. Chairperson, it's the surprise for me, as you mentioned, about the auditors and sit down not being paid. Because we've got a clear audit that we've done all our payments within 30 days. Now,
it was an issue just of being paid late.
Well, okay, because, I mean, all our compliance is within 30 days. Now, in the case of, and I don't know what, I can't remember that I've seen it in the report, because I've read this report most probably 100 times before it went into the system. So that is a surprise for me if it's in there. But I think that from a compliance perspective, we do all our payments within 30 days. But remember, the Auditor General and CITA both need also to comply with our processes. So they must give us invoices. They need to account. We need to check these things because we're working with taxpayers' money. So, Chairperson, I will read it again. Just pick up there where the problem is. Then the agent, Honourable Member, I'll take a note of your concerns both from the Minister and the DG. But as an indication that the date for this meeting is set late, while the UNW2 meetings is things that have been planned 3-4 years in advance. So it's sometimes a real problem in sort of getting them right in this specific case. And I think we will relay that concern so that perhaps we can also amend the date that we can make sure we get them in this year. Chairperson, on the slide 20 about black women, the increase of number of black women in executive positions. Just to reiterate, I think as you've indicated, it's for the department very difficult to determine how many black women have been appointed into executive positions in the tourism industry, in the public sector. I think that's the reality. And we need to find a way that's how through the mechanisms we put in place as government to sort of get that information. I think that is what you are saying. It's difficult because you cannot go and force them or lock them up if they don't give you that information. We ask for it, but you depend on that license. This is why the relationship and been having the Tourism and Business Council of South Africa be the spokesperson or the spokesentity for the industry to assist that we can have this relationship so that that information becomes available in our system. We do have a Tourism Charter Council. That one will be instituted again now so that we can sort of try and bring them together. But you work on good relationships with the public sector in getting that into our domain. The number of tourism products in sustainable or in the rural areas, again, what we've indicated there is that we put that target in, but we've realized that this is something that is cross-cutting because it's the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform who has set up a rural development strategy. And we need to fit our tourism strategy into that so that it becomes a government-driven process. You can't have just drive a certain rural development which is not forming part of the bigger process because you might need roads, you might need airports, you might need other departments to supply services. Water affairs, water, all those issues. So this is why we've opted in first developing our strategy in consultation with the Department of Rural Development and Land. We've got the legal mandate to drive that process, and I think that's what we are saying there. If I then move on Maloof skateboarding, and Chairperson, I think you'll recall we've had this debate earlier. This is a provincial issue. In fact, from the outset, the province did not opt to work with national when they sort of agreed to that one. But we as a department have supporting around certain of the funding processes that we make sure that we create jobs. My understanding, and in fact the person who was driving that is also from Skalkwyk. So I spoke with you last week at the Tourism Day celebrations. He was saying it went very well. And what I've seen on TV, it appears that area has now been taken over by the kids. They like skateboarding now. So I think the intention, my understanding, the intention from that province is that this will become an annual event. So that they would like to bring it instead of that being taking place in America, it becomes something that can sort of uplift the Northern Cape as far as that's concerned. The international agreements, perhaps just to clarify, if I can use the Zimbabwe one, it was agreement that agreement would have been signed at the Indaba in May last year. We have been ready, we secured the venues. The Friday before that, the minister from Zimbabwe indicated that their cabinet haven't approved the final draft, so that they haven't a sanction by the president to sign it. The one for Saudi Arabia has been in the pipeline for 3 to 4 years. Each time we arrive at the point to sign it, they want to change it because they want to write in issues like visas, those issues that is not the mandate of tourism, and therefore we cannot. And remember, these things are happening through diplomatic channels. So we submit to the Department of International Relations. They vet it and they work with the officers. So I think that is the problem in some of the instances. There's also the one of Brazil. And there's a likelihood that it can be signed now when the BRICS event takes place on the 17th. But it depends on whether both parties are ready to sign it and the availability of who has been authorized by the president to sign it. So I think that is what I was referring to. So we are trying to sort of do our utmost to try and expedite that, but you've got a diplomatic way of dealing with that. On the BRICS, perhaps I'll ask Victor to comment also on BRICS. I know there's a lot of processes underway. Remember, South Africa came into the BRICS at a little later stage, so they need to adopt certain processes. But on the international relations side, there's two issues. One is that after a presidential visit, the president has instructed cabinet and the cluster systems to develop international relations strategy. So when we go overseas as government, we talk with one voice. We do not indicate different issues. So I think that is the one issue. We as a department have also developed that international or a strategy around international engagement. And I will ask Victor that he can also elaborate what is the value, for argument's sake, what the Honourable Member Jorgens mentioned in relation to the visit of the Minister. A practical example might be China, to sort of give you an idea of what is coming out of those visits. So I think I've answered the question about why funds do we expect. The trigger given to our budget vote, but there was a condition that you need to prove that you can spend it and have all the processes in place. And I think most probably you'll find this throughout all the departments, because it was something that was decided on in January 2010, and the funds became available 1st of April. So it doesn't give you proper time to sort of plan that one. The forensic I've attended to, with Provence, I've given you an idea of what is the issues there. On universal access, again, and I think that, if I can recall at the previous occasion, I indicated that. This is a code of good practice that we as tourism has developed. I think the Grain people can confirm that it is part of their process, the new prescripts that they put in place. But the reality is that there's no legislation in place dealing with this issue. So the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities needs to make sure that we've got that legislation in place that will create an enabling environment for us to sort of work on that. The industry has taken account of this, and I mean, our protected areas, national parks, certain percentage, I think it's 3% of their room should be over there. The hotels have taken it on. So I think that's issues that comes into the process, and I think we from the department side has really taken care of that. In the new premises that we're in, we've really sort of made sure that we can facilitate for easy access for people with disabilities. So I think that is the reality around that. We try from a tourism portfolio perspective to be in an advanced position, and industry is very supportive in this process. So it's two things. First, I'm going to ask the Iron Lady in our department, Nomzama, this is why she's next to me to support me, to just indicate also on the performance process what we are using, and then I'll ask Victor and Anami and the Rat if she wants to, add anything related to the questions.
So when the going gets tough,
I just wanted to respond, maybe not respond, but kind of comment on the point about how true is our report that you are taking here to you. And I wanted to assure you, Honourable Member, that we use evidence-based reporting, and this particular report has already been audited by the AG. Also, the performance part, it is about the claims that you're making. They will require that we provide evidence of whether those things have truly happened. And if it is accepted into the report, it's because the AG themselves can assure you that we have provided them the evidence that it has happened and the claim can be verified. And that is why also in the second presentation that we're going to be doing, we are clear in the sense that it's a preliminary report. The verification processes of all of the claims that we have received from the branches about what we have happened in the past 6 months for the next presentation, that process of verification is happening now. So this one is only a preliminary report. Should anything major arise on any of the claims not be acceptable in terms of the reporting, then we would have to come back to the chair and say this particular work, maybe these claims were not correct at the time when we provided the preliminary report. Just for your assurance, both from our side internally in the department as well as the assurance provided by the AG.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. But also to add on what my colleague was saying, to say that we do take the committee and all the honourable members very seriously in terms of their responsibility to oversight. And everything that we bring for the committee is pure, everything, including all other documentation that we bring outside, annual reports, biannual reports, and so on. Everything that we bring here is for the record. And it's something that we are confident what we're putting before you is something that was looked at with seriousness. Honourable Chair, there was a question raised by Honourable Manjong regarding the venue of the international visits that we undertake. And in particular, the Chinese example. In all indications are that the Chinese market in general has been growing even at a time when some of our traditional markets were slowing down a little bit or just slightly still growing. But the most important thing about China was that when the decision to actually locate into Beijing was taken, there was very clear indications that the people within China were able to access information about South Africa. And we went on the presidential state visit to China. And there was a specific session that was held with travel trade within China, with the media, tourism media within China, and I must say that the questions that they were raising and the concerns that they had with regards to the market itself, access, information issues, and so on, most of them have actually led to significant engagements with the Chinese, from our side as well. As we speak today, honorable members will know that we could only go, for instance, to Hong Kong, and we couldn't land in any other airport within China, because the agreement was in that particular manner. But this level of engagement, as we speak today, we do have an agreement on the table that has been signed from the transport side, which allows for at least a flight a day that comes from any of the airports in South Africa to any of the airports within China, and Beijing included. So these are some of the specific tangibles that are coming out of this specifically. Recent visit was undertaken, Tim was there, the acting CEO of SAT, is the Norwegian visit. And a number of operators within the Norwegian market were very clear that there is more to be done within that specific market. Interestingly, there are two Norwegian companies
that operate for South Africa, that are actually bringing Norwegians to South Africa. It's a small population, but they are per capita income is very high. When they come here, they want to spend significant amount of days, up to 10 days or so. Their spend is huge, very significant. To date, we are actually able to attract up to 20 or 4,000 per annum. This is without dedicated effort within that particular market. And they were saying, you guys are playing, you need to come here and promote a lot more of this. But these are things we will never know until that space opens and we take advantage of the space that has been happening in the implementation of the national strategic approach in terms of international relations. So there is some value there. The other question was related to the agreement. Now, with the agreement, the SNDG has already spoken about some of the challenges. But there is a concerted effort to have agreements with the region in particular. We do have some work that we're doing with the Mozambicans, and they actually get a lot of support from us in terms of understanding how the grading system works. We're doing some work, for instance, with the Namibians. And the Namibians were looking at how do we deal with the issues of cross-border guiding and so on. CAPSIDA is also part of that particular arrangement in terms of how we can get these things done properly. We are doing some work with the Rasu too. So there is concerted effort, there is dedicated effort to make sure that the region itself is actually part of this regional product, so to say. Because most of these visitors, when they come here, the tourists, when they come here, take the Japanese, for instance, they land at Wuhan, they leave for Pretoria for a short period of time, they then go to Zambia. Spend a little of time at the Victoria Falls side of Zambia, they come back to OR and then fly down to Cape Town. Spend some time in Cape Town and then they leave. And their package is always like that. If you look at the trend is clear and clear. So it's in our interest that on the Zambian side, if Victoria Falls is presented in a particular way, it actually is also again in our favor because they wouldn't let come in. But we really should always up our game in terms of international relations because that's where the opportunities are.
Laura, if you want to add anything on the explanation,
I think. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just to explain that with the EPWP funds, they are exclusively appropriated for EPWP, meaning that if they can't be utilized by the end of the financial year on EPWP programs, they have to be returned back to National Treasury because they are exclusively appropriated for EPWP. They can't be used for any other program in the department. And the incentive funding, the money that was returned back to National Treasury, it was because the incentive funding is performance linked. And at the beginning of the financial year, we are given targets to meet, and you get it only if you meet those targets, and you get a certain percentage. Out of the 32 million, we got about 12 million, and we had to return 20 million back to National Treasury. Yes, just clarity on that. Thanks.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Skalvik, and let me just comment on the our position. I think we are proud of the department, but being proud doesn't mean that we are blind to reality in the department. And the EPWP is a sore point. I think before you issue a budget, there is a project plan that is there, which stipulates how many people are going to be there, the materials that are going to be used, and all that goes with budget project plan. And even before the budget is allocated. So when this thing now refires, when now we are supposed to implement, It indicates that we do not spend enough time at the planning stage because that's where you've got to see the control, the internal control of the receiver. But having said that, I'm also aware of the difficulties the national departments have when dealing with the provinces on concurrent complicated the constitution because it's complicated for but what we have had and this experience I got from this appropriations committee of which I was a member and the last prior meeting. The DG national demands the head of department in the province to account. The head of the province the director general of the province, the head of department. The head of department says this is the information and then I'm not going to account to you. We are equal. I do not know whether you face that situation in your case. That was the issue on health. It was that issue on education and on other departments as well. If that is the case, perhaps it would be good to understand clearly whether that is the case, so that we can have it in our report that this thing is unfortunate. Somebody has to be accountable, because you can't have three people or two people being accountable. So it should be only one accounting officer. When, especially when it comes to funds that have been approved by us as part of the parliament. And if the head of department refuses to account, let him write down that, no, I am not going to give you, take my word, because that is what he said, take my word. If you don't want to take my word, you are not going to go beyond me. So that is the situation that we are aware of as well. So which should be addressed. If that is the case, please do indicate. If that is not the case, we just phone the person and verbally then say, no, I've got a project to send the minimum. Then that is negligence from the side of from our side or from whatever. But we've got to look at the control measures and speak to them, and then if people refuse then to take national control measures, then we've got to deal with that situation. And but we feel in general that you are on top of your job, and I think that happened that we are agreeing with every member. But those concerns are there. Mount or it seems that we've got something very itching.
There's also a point of clarification, Chairperson. One appreciates the responses about the EPWT program, and then returning the 20 million to the National Assembly. But I'm still wondering as to who actually initiates the project for the EPWP? Let's confine ourselves to tourism, for example. Is it the provinces? Does the National Department have anything to do with it? As you say, you have to approve the project first before you can spend money on them. I think I agree with that totally. Because sometimes some of the so-called EPWP projects that we see, you know, people, you know, they are not supervised, they are not working, but they are going to get some money, but I suppose because the money is so little, they are also not incentivized, you know, that kind of thing. I'm just trying to say, yes, it is true, some of the EPWP projects that we see around, you really wonder whether it's worth spending money on. But there are some good ones.
We are beyond our time.
There are some good ones anyway that we appreciate. But now my question is,
who initiates this project that you have to approve?
Thank you, Ted. Just to say that we haven't got that problem with the heads of departments, provinces. They get their money from the directly from Treasury, so we as a department don't transfer any funds to provinces or local government. I think we're fortunate as far as that's concerned. And then I'll ask her after just to respond on the process, specifically our new process, how we deal with this.
The projects are initiated by the provinces. We write letters to the head of department requesting for project proposals, which they submit to us, and then we evaluate those proposals, looking into whether they satisfy the requirement of EPWP, sustainability issues, and capacity issues. And then those that fit the criteria of our policy are then recommended for funding, but they largely come from the provinces.
Okay, thank you very much. And well done on those direct routes of the SEA. I think we need to deal much more with growing economy that can buy, because at the end of the day, trade is about people that can buy and people that cannot buy. And we all know that right now the Europe is under stress, and we all know that the USA is under stress. And we, as the emerging economies of the East are the ones that are growing, they are the ones that are able to buy. So it makes sense to trade with them as well. And thank you for your achievements. We hope that we are going to get the benefits from Korea as well, with the minister and the DG having gone there. But without much ado, let us go to the fourth quarter, this presentation. I think here is just the salient issues that really matter. And we can read the detail as we go forward.
Thank you, Ted.
The approach I will adopt here is that I will deal with the introduction around the finances and program one, which is my responsibility, and then I'll ask each of the DDGs to present their program that they are dealing with. So the expenditure as on the 30th of September is that our spend were 45% of the budget at that stage, of which the largest component of our budget is the transfer payment to the South African tournament. If we look at how we have been spending on compensation of employees, we are at 46%, goods and services 35%, transfer and subsidies on 45%, and then payment for capital on 205%. Now, the reason is that 19 million that has been rolled over, that is the security systems and those things, that will be affected now in the budget. So we manage it in our budget. Coming first half of November, we will have that additional 19 million added to our baseline, which will increase it to 1.3 million. And I think then we will be on par again. On program one, if I can sort of give a general oversight, is that on two of our key performance indicators, in our criteria, using the same one as the Auditor General, I would say we are in the yellow areas, and the rest, I think we are all in the green areas. We are on par as far as that was it. So compliance in both cases is 100% so far, as far as submitting our audit reports, submitting it to the Treasury processes. Percentage on the vacancy rate, Chair, you will remember that in our last year we were on 19%, we're now at 14%, and we're working hard to be within the limits that the President announced. Government departments should not have a vacancy rate more than 10%.
percentage implementation of the work skills plan just for the last quarter we implemented 31%, the previous one 31%, so we are about 60% implemented on that one. The implementation of our performance management system, we had 99.7%. In fact, there was only one official who haven't submitted their performance agreements on time. In the number of interventions in HIV and AIDS, employment wellness, we've already had two. Our year target is four. Presenting representativity, 53%. Disability cut by 43%. And just to say that in the department, we've also adopted a policy that specific posts are earmarked posts now for people with disabilities. It's been advertised as such. And our black representativity is 85%. Percentage of implementation of the master system plan, we have adopted our own master system plan up to middle of April. We were still utilizing the one that was developed as DEEC, and we've now transferred it to have our own one in place. Audit of all ETF visitors, business processes, we've identified the target of 150. We've now done 137 business processes. So each action we are taking in the department has got a proper business process designed that you can track and say where it needs to go to. The modeling of business processes, already 31 of the 130 that was proposed that was a target has been mapped. Update of network of services, our IT services, internet, all of those are 99.29%. Percentage interpretation of the annual implementation of communication strategy. We stand at about 33.5%, and this is the area that we are in the yellow, something that we are picking up. Percentage increase in the share of own voice in the media is on 54%. Our annual target is to have at least 55% in the tourism. Number of high-level media interventions, six so far, and then percentage and completion of approved rolling 3-year strategy and 1-year operational plan. As far as our audit is concerned, we've got that approved by the audit, our internal our audit committee, and 40% of that operational plan has already been completed. Tourist international relations, the only thing that we haven't done is that the strategy has not been approved yet. We've only had our stakeholder interactions last week, but this has also been aligned with the IRS strategy that is still in the cluster system of government. Percentage compliance with case management, so on both our legislation, we've got protocols that we say litigation in how many days we need to deal with that. And as far as compliance orders, is managing contracts and all those issues in the department, we've achieved everything within the target and framework. Percentage compliance with regulatory requirements, 100%. Percentage of expenditure on procurement, our target for the year is 59%, and presently we are on 56%. And then program two, the Lotto.
On program two, with the first strategic objective, it looks at the job creation programs of the department, and the first target was for the EPWP program, and the target is 5,270 full-time equivalent jobs. And up to the end of August, we had created 1,908. And we are at 36% in terms of achieving our annual target. And if we include the September figures, which will be available after the 20th of October, we should be at around 45%. And this is a huge improvement as opposed to the last financial year. And the second KPI relates to our TAP program, and the target is 5,000 full-time equivalent jobs. by the end of September, we had achieved 1,973. The KPIs 3, 4, and 5 relate to the skills and capacity building program targeting young people, and in all three, we have almost achieved our targets. And the challenge, honorable members, with this youth-related program is around the level of dropouts that we are experiencing in the program for various reasons. In as far as enrolling the young people, we have achieved the target of enrolling them, but keeping them and making the, and making sure that they stay in the program is a big challenge. And the reasons that we have seen so far is because some of them have decided that they are no more interested in the program. Others, it's because of ill-discipline, theft, or health reasons. So we could have achieved the targets, but we have that challenge of a dropout in the program. Then we have the strategic objective that deals with facilitating and supporting economic empowerment through product and enterprise development. And on the KPI that deals with the number of tourism products in rural and less visited provinces, our target for this financial year is to finalize the rural tourism strategy. And in as far as that is concerned, we have held workshops to get inputs with the provinces, and we have received inputs from the provinces. We have included the inputs into the strategy, and we are refining the strategy. And the intention is that by the end of the financial year, we want the strategy to be approved internally in the department. And over and above that, we have identified the rural tourism nodes and mapped them. And we also have a target of supporting two rural tourism products. And so far, we are supporting the Maluti-Drakensberg route as well as the National Heritage Monument. Then the next target accounts to the number of the EPWP projects that are being funded in the current financial year, and the target is 45, and so far we have about 65 projects that have been funded through the EPWP program. We also have the target of developing a tourism master plan, and the idea here is to map all the tourism products in different provinces. And progress in as far as that is that we have consulted with the provinces, they have provided us with their provincial strategies, and together with our IT section, we are starting to map out all these tourism products, your rural tourism products, your niche, your cultural, your heritage, including the EPWP projects. And the KPI number 9 deals with the investment promotion activities, and largely the projects that were identified in the global competitiveness study. And the target is to promote 4 investment activities. And so far, we have advertised 2 adverts published in Mpumalanga and KZN Business Guides. And also in the investment catalog, we are promoting some of these investment opportunities. Yes, we are promoting some of the investment opportunities as we've signed a service level agreement with Trade Invest and also attended the summit on the PPP investment. KPI number 10 deals with the cultural and heritage tourism strategy. And the target was to refine the existing strategy. And the progress so far is that we have consulted with the provinces, and we are incorporating the inputs that we have received from the provinces into the strategy. We also have an event tourism strategy, and it's work in progress. We are also incorporating the inputs that we have received from the provinces. On the niche tourism strategy, the target was to have a niche tourism product identified, approved, and developed, and we have received approval to develop the AV tourism niche strategy, and it deals with the bathing. It's a bathing strategy, and we are busy developing that strategy.
language. AB is for the base. Strategy for people to visit places with base.
Yes, yes. It's a niche. It's a specialized. Okay. And we also have a target of number of interventions in support of social tourism development. And the target for this financial year was to do a research just to understand the market in terms of social tourism. And in the progress so far is that we have not as yet started with the research. We will utilize the staff that will be coming from DTI that will be coming to the department to undertake the activity. KPI number 14 relates to our TEF program, and it deals with supporting small rural enterprises. And the target for the year is 530. As of the end of September, we have supported 357 rural enterprises. And for the enterprises that are supported to grow their revenue and to grow the jobs, the target was to support 25 enterprises, and of those 25, 5 should be from the rural areas. And the progress so far is that we have supported 55 enterprises, were coached, and of those, 21 are from the rural. We also have a target of the number of businesses that are supported with market access, and the target is 170. And we have supported 166 with 447 market access opportunities. And then lastly, on the PEP program, we have a target of supporting 3,351 historically disadvantaged enterprises. And the progress so far is that we are sitting at 1,122, and we believe that we are on track. We will achieve the target by the end of the financial year. The other KPIs, they deal with sector transformation, as gazetted and informed by the Tourism BEE Charter, as well as the Tourism Sector Strategy. And the target there is to sign memorandum of agreement with strategic partners, and the intention was to sign with 12 of those strategic partners. We have not as yet signed any agreement, but we've done all the groundwork. We have drafted the memorandum of agreement with the provinces, and they have been vetted internally by our legal services unit and submitted to the Director General for approval. We have also identified strategic partners that we would like to sign this memorandum of agreement with, and they include the 10, the South African Tourism, Sun Parks, FEDASA, the Housing Tourism Authority, the Swami, and the others, the Nelson Mandela Bay, and the others. KPI number 19 deals with the system for monitoring compliance with BEE rating by tourism enterprises, and the target was to pilot the system. And the progress so far is that we are working with our IT unit in the department, and there's a link on the NDT website, which is linked to the DTI website, their BEE portal. And we are on track to achieving our annual target on that one. We also have the number of state organs who report on the levers they use to drive transformation in the sector, and the target is 25 organs of state. And so far, we also have done the groundwork. We have held workshops in the provinces together with National Treasury and DTI on aligning the supply chain management together with the alignment issue. We've held workshops with the provinces, and we have received reports from 10 entities so far. KPI number 21 is the National Mentorship Program established to support the development of black SMMEs, and the target is 20. And on this one, we are working with the TEP program
but also with other institutions like the ICC and the Watukuta College in KZN. And two mentorship programs were done so far, and we are piloting on two identified SMMEs. And we have not achieved our target up to now. We also have a KPI on the number of black graduates participating in the accelerated tourism graduate apprenticeship, and the target is 50. Again, we have not achieved the target as of the end of September, but we have done the groundwork, and we believe that by the end of the financial year, we should be in a position to achieve the 50 target. The intention with KPI number 21 is to publish an annual report on the impact of public sector partner spend on empowered tourism goods and services. And this relates to what the Honourable Chair was talking about, that as a department and in government, we need to use companies that are graded or companies that are BEE aligned. And therefore, the intention is to publish the report that really shows the impact of those public sector spend on empowered tourism services. And so far, we have done the terms of reference for the study and presented it internally in the department. And we will be achieving the target by the end of the financial year. And number 24 is the number of events successfully executed and informed by the departmental mandate on objectives. And this relates to the events, the departmental events. And so far, we have supported one event, the Tourism Indaba, and two events were postponed. That is the Combined Industry Conference and also the Tourism Awards launch. Yes, that's all for program two.
Okay, over to program three.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I will be taking you through Program 3, the Tourism Growth Plan. The first couple of KPIs relate to excellent people development in the sector. Our first PPI there is the Revised Skills Audit Report for 2011, implemented as well, and the target is the Revised Skills Audit Report. With this PPI, we have taken a bit of a diversion in our original plan. Although this was our original plan, in the first quarter of the current financial year, we established that CASFICA is planning to do exactly the same. It is a bit of a broader project, but they're also planning to do a revised skills audit. So we have made the decision to partner with CASFICA in this approach so that we don't duplicate the work that we will be doing. And we are currently in a phase where we will sign an MOU with them for partnership in this project. We also believe that it's their mandate is development and labour market issues. PPI number two is the number of unemployed matriculants and tourism graduates trained and placed for experimental learning, and our target was there the placement of 17 unemployed matriculants, and thus far we are at 150, so we are reaching our target there. KPI number three is around the chefs training and placement, and the target there is the recruitment, training and placement of 800 young people, and at this point we are standing at 400, and we believe that we will reach that target. PPI number four is the number of tourism educators support programs facilitated in programs, and this target is then nine programs that we should facilitate through the year. This, just to say, that is a direct link to one of the outcomes of one of the NTCEs, is that the need of educator programs like this. Thus far, seminars have been conducted in eight provinces, and we will reach our target. The tourism leadership dialogues held, our target for the year is four. Up to now, we have held one
dialogue, which was a public lecture during Tourism Month celebrations, and it was held at the Free State University in Kwakwa. BPI number 6 is the National Tourism Career Expo, which we must, there's one expo for the target for this year. The expo was held in September, and just under 20,000 people walked through the gates of the expo. BPI number 7 is the number of higher education institutions engaged to provide professional training for scarce and critical skills. With this BPI, we intend to sign MOUs with universities, and we're also currently talking to hospitality schools, hotel schools, sorry, in partnering with them on different areas, including skills development and capacity building, but also research. The next BPI, then the objective there is to create a conducive environment and contribution to economic growth and with decent work, and our BPI there is the framework on decent work, where we said that there is a framework in place at the moment, and that the enforcement of that is the Department of Labour's responsibility, but from the Department of Tourism side, we will put interventions in place to make sure that skills development happens. The next BPI links to the improved service level in the tourism sector. BPI number 9 relates to the generic service excellence standards and norms implemented. And our target is tourism generic service excellence standards and norms facilitated. At the moment, we have a draft standard in place with the SANS number already at the SABS, and we do believe that we will reach that target by the end of the year. This is also then one of the pillars of the service excellence strategy, which we are implementing in the current year, together with the raising of awareness with regards to service excellence. The next BPI relates to the tourist guiding sector and the implementation of the professionalization strategy. With this BPI, we raise awareness, we do the registration of and monitor the registration of tourist guides, and we also have the objective or the target to harmonize the standards of tourist guiding throughout the study countries. Work has started in all these aspects, and we are confident that we will reach the targets there. Just to say that at this point, we have just under 11,000 tourist guides registered. BPI number 12 relates to the consumer satisfaction framework for the tourism, that we need to develop a satisfaction framework, consumer satisfaction. The draft framework is in place. We are working very closely with the National Consumer Commissioner and the DTI under the Consumer Protection Act. And as the acting DG said, in the draft bill, there is also the provision for the tourism protector moving forward. BPI number 13 relates to responsible tourism best practices. And our target there is the SANAS approved accreditation must be in place. At the moment, we have launched the National Minimum Standard for Responsible Tourism. Minister launched it a month or two ago, and we are working with the accreditation agency, SANAS, to set up an accreditation system to implement the National Minimum Standard, and we are confident that we will reach that target as well. With the universal accessibility and the action plan that we need to finalize, we had a lot of consultation and workshops in provinces, and we are developing the action plan in consultation with our main partners and stakeholders. With regard to the National Climate Change and Tourism Response Program, and specifically there, the Tourism Action Plan, we do have a draft National Tourism and Climate Change Plan in place. We, in parallel to the action plans, we also continue to raise awareness around these aspects. And the final plan will be available by the end of the year. PPI number 16, although it says that work has not commenced, some of the aspects just before this I mentioned the minimum standards for responsible tourism, the UA action plan, as well as the climate change. All of these are integral part of the responsible tourism strategy. So work has been done in preparation for the development of the strategy, and the strategy per se will be drafted in the remaining of the year. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi Chair. I'll try to be brief. We did the state of tourism report, which essentially looks at accommodation, looks at attraction, looks at the trends globally, looks at the trends domestically. So that is ready. But we're also looking at how best we're going to update this as we go through the following years. We're also looking at evaluation of the tourism enterprise partnership in terms of the impact it's actually making in relation to the mandate as per our agreement with the partnership itself. We, the other things that standard reporting, we feature significantly in terms of the outcomes in as far as the president's ME framework is concerned. So we regularly provide the necessary reports, some of which are reports that you've been privileged to, that we continuously make sure that we update that is required. We are working on a forecasting model. The idea on which is that we should be able to forecast with some scientific basis the nature of the kind of jobs we will be able to generate as we fulfill the NTSS requirement of the 225,000 jobs by 2020. So we have talked to a number of experts trying to establish exactly whether there are existing models that we can use. Between ourselves and Treasury, SAP, and SSA, we seem to be getting closer to some form of the model that we can use. But what we've realized is that it's impossible to just model the whole tourism sector. So we're going to split this, look at accommodation at once, and then after that, let's look at a car and house, and so on and so forth, all this and this stuff. We also have, Honorable Chair, a few policy-related documents that we're working on. One which is more significant is the domestic tourism strategy, the broader strategy. Well, that is running parallel with FAT's domestic tourism marketing strategy. At the same time, shortly not stopping but proceeding. So we're trying to make sure that at the end we actually have a much broader approach that we're going to implement. We're looking at a crisis management framework. Part of where this came from was during the flood. There were certain areas we even visited physically, specific places where an area is cut off because the bridge is too low. In a couple of days, it's not accessible. These are some of the places that I actually frequented on a daily basis, employing more than 100 people and so on and so forth. So we realized that there is a need for a specific kind of approach that looks at what we do in terms of crisis. There was that Chile ash, volcanic ash. We thought these things are island things, but they were actually happening here as well. We were affected, so we are looking at how best we can try and mitigate such circumstances. In terms of municipalities, a lot of work has been done, but what is more important is the fact that we recognize that we can't see as every municipality. We've got 240-something municipalities, about 243. It means, effectively it means, Honorable Chair, that it will take us 5 years going every week to each municipality to cover all of them. So the approach that we've now decided on is we need a framework that allows for capacity development. So the same capacity that is developed in Municipal Y should be available in Municipal X, should be available in Municipal Z. And what's going to help also in this approach is that there won't be job hopping. So I don't apply for a job in Municipal X and then count offer with this other one in Bengals, and we end up actually just perpetuating that because the capacity is not developed. So that's the approach we're taking, and we have that framework developed now. So then we're talking to experts in terms of how we implement that. This largely covers those issues that I've reported on before in terms of frequencies and so on. In terms of the national government sector strategy, we have what we call the delivery forum, which was part of the approved approach by cabinet when they approved the NTSS. It provides for each subsector to be able to actually effectively participate. So business has got its own, in inverted commas, caucus, if we were to put it that way, in the context of something equivalent to that type of approach. Government, within the MINMEX, we have got that particular approach as well. And the academia, they have got that specific setting that they are also pursuing. And the media has been brought in. It has already met, and they have already made specific commitments to say these are the things in the NTSS that we believe we are directly responsible for. And the reporting is going to be against that. But I should just mention, Honorable Chair and the Honorable Member, that we, as we progress, the outcome picture will not be immediate. But it should be clear that the steps that we have identified as actions are being taken, and we are taking them towards that particular outcome without failure. We are obviously looking at enhancing the systems that are there and also developing new systems. We have talked about the continuation in terms of the work we're doing with the events calendar. We've talked about the e-library and so on. One very important aspect, we are looking over here at the establishment of the tourism gateway at the major port of entry. People come from Mozambique into Mombela. What kind of information do they find? What we realized is that we are the last missing link. Home Affairs is there, SARS is there, everybody is there, but we are not there to say, now that you've gone through all these processes, this is the good news, this is where you can stay, this is where you can visit, and so on and so forth. So we are looking at that particular approach, and we are at some level of advanced stage in terms of looking at that. Also with the Vista Information Center, the biggest issue here being that there's no uniform standard in terms of these things. One information center here is vastly different from another one in another province, and so how do we make sure that this is somewhat standardized, even if they may not be the same in terms of the levels of sophistication, but how do we make sure that they at least reflect the common thread and so on and so forth. We are looking at I can pass this one, implied. Our focus in terms of research studies, we're looking at heritage, culture. There was a huge debate also with agriculture as to whether we are saying heritage and culture are the same thing, and it is not the same thing. So there's a study that is looking at heritage, there's a study that is looking at culture, but there's also another study that we are undertaking that is going to look at the entire value chain, making an economic case. So this is the kind of case that we will be able to take to the National Treasurer. We are taking the approach, Honorable Chair, that says there's existing capacity within universities and other institutions of knowledge that we cannot duplicate that. So we're not going to have a huge research unit. And we are getting into MOUs with these universities, University of Pretoria, University of Johannesburg, they're very good with hospitality, University of Venda, University of Zululand, and the Peninsula University of Technology. They're very good with mega events. All of these I can confidently report that they've been negotiated, these agreements, the respective lawyers have agreed that we can now put ink into the paper, and they cover a number of issues, skills development, research, and so on and so forth. So that's where I consider that.
I think the last one is just for information, Chair, where we are now as a department at the half year. 25% African, colored 5, Indian 3, white 7, and senior management 64, African, colored 9, Indian 6, and white 21. The women on 53%. People with disabilities 2.3%, turnover rate 2.8%. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Things are packed now, but on the issue of that was raised before. On delayed payment. I forgot to raise that. In fact, I don't know whether our research department could just refere in the sense, because right now everything that is happening quarter by quarter by quarter. So that it becomes clear. You may not have the information, but let us just fill in.
It was an issue of late payments towards sitters. In most instances, that in the beginning of the quarters, sitters are not paid on time. So it's sort of like in the set quarters, it reflects that the department has not spent money on paying for training. So the money that is received for sitters is actually paid later on. It's not paid within the first quarter. If the training in the first quarter, and it's not paid in the first quarter.
Sorry, CETAS is not our department's responsibility. That belongs to education, the CETAS.
No, the CETAS is for information technology, the SITAS. It's a transversal department servicing information technology in government.
Is it difficult to have and difficult?
Okay, I think that we'll follow that later, and then take it further, because the task of oversight now, we are trying to deepen it now, and step by step, because we have to perform as a country. It's our responsibility, it's our future, it's the future of our children. Want to come and better. And you know that there is a lot of criticism. We've got to be responsive and do things better. But and communicate better. So what we are going to allow you to communicate and see how we dress this thing out. I think that will be better served in that way. In as far as this briefing is concerned, it is about 5 minutes to one. And we'll be having another sitting from 2. I do not know what we can do would be to have a question or two of clarification. And then if we have further questions, and I'm sure we are going to have further questions, we shall come back to you by writing. Are there any questions of clarification? Just to be clear where things are not clear.
Earlier I was challenged about a question that I asked the department. I just would like to ask if it would be a problem if, for instance, we ask parliamentary questions. You say here number of enterprises reported to grow, then say 25, the target is 25, and then 55 enterprises crushed. I would like that just my nature to know where those enterprises are. So, I mean, and that is not something that you'll get out of this. So, what I would like to know, in order for this report to be drawn up, surely it must be somewhere on a database, just for and be easily accessible. Will that be a problem, acting DG?
Okay, no, that might be a problem, because as indicated by the example, this is our preliminary, but we verify all this information. So for us to have the 55, they might need to tell us where it is exactly. We will have those.
Okay, yeah, I think...
Thank you, just to follow up, because in order for us to go and have a look in our specific provinces, because we not only represent parties and we also represent provinces, we would like to go and have a look and see, if there's 10 in my province, in North East, for instance, what's really going on there and what's happening on the ground.
Yeah, and that tourism is inseparable. We may be organized in provinces and in I think let us then stop there for now, and then after lunch we shall be convening for the next session. Those who wanted to follow up on other things in this presentation, please submit your questions or what you want to clarify to the secretary so that we can interact with the department, please, just because of time. Thank you very much. So we shall be back.